Innal hamdalillah wassalatu wassalamu ala asyrafil anbiya wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man wala wa ba'd. Inshallah bismillah taala we will complete the first part of the advice of Luqman alayhi salam to his son, which relates to gratitude, to shukr. Inshallah we will try to do that today inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the ayat which begins the series of those ayat of advice of Luqman alayhi salam to his son, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, wa laqad atayna Luqman al-hikmata an ishkur lillah, wa man yashkur fa innama yashkuru li nafsih, wa man kafara fa inna allaha ghaniyun hamid. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that verily we granted to Luqman hikmah, which is wisdom. And this wisdom, the foundation of that wisdom is shukr. And he said, be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the one who is thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is thankful for himself, meaning the value and the reward of that goes to himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from the need even for thanks. So we thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because it is our need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not because it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's need that he should be thanked. وَمَنْ كَفَرَ. And the one who does not do that, the one who denies that, the one who is ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who denies Allah or denies the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ حَمِيدٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghani and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is worthy of all praise. Ibn Kathir rahmatullah alayhi in his tafsir of Surah Al-Fatiha narrates an incident which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrated. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that there was this man who praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the following words. And in the, this is from Tafsir ibn Kathir in Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, that ayah in the tafsir of this ayah. He said, the man praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the following words. He said, Rabbi laka alhamdu kama yanbaghi li jalali wajhika wa azimi sultanik. He said, oh my Rabb, Rabbi laka alhamd. He said, all praise and thanks is due to you. Kama yanbaghi li jalali wajhik. In keeping with the glory and magnificence of your glorious countenance, in keeping with the glory and magnificence of your face, wa azimi sultanik, and in keeping with the greatness and magnificence of your kingdom. He said, Rabbi lakal hamdu kama yanbaghi li jalali wajhika wa azimi sultanik. So Rabbi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the slave praised Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in these words. The malaika who record deeds and who record the reward for the deeds, they were perplexed because they had never heard these specific words in praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before. So they go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu and they say, Ya Rab, your slave has praised you in these words. We have never heard these words before. What reward should we write for these words? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks the malaika, what did he say? And the malaika say, Ya Rab, he said, Rabbi laka alhamdu kama yanbaghi li jalali wajhika wa azimi sultanik. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to the malaika, record his words as he said them, and I will reward him in keeping with the glory and magnificence of my face and in keeping with the glory and magnificence of my kingdom. That is the reward of shukr. Now on a side note, whenever you read a hadith like this or you hear a hadith like this where there is this kalam between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the malaika, where we say, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the malaika such and such. Now, please understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew what the slave was going to say even before the slave knew it himself. So Allah has no need to ask the malaika anything. But why does Allah ask? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks the malaika to make them witnesses in favor of the slave on the day of judgment. So when they come and report, Ya Rab, we heard such and such. Now they are the witnesses for this person. So this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's further mercy on those who do good, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes the malaika witnesses for his slaves on the day of judgment. My brothers and sisters, Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu once passed by a man, and this man was making dua, and he was saying, Ya Allah, make me among the few, make me among the Khalil. So Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu was very particular about everything. So Sayyidina Umar asked him, what dua is this? Who taught you to make this dua? Make you among the few, what is the meaning of this? Where is this dua from? So the man said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Khalil amma tashkurun. He said, only a few people are thankful. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about the muqarrabun, about the people who are closest to him, Jalla Jalaluhu. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Thullatum min al-awwaleen wa qalilum min al-akhirin. He said, a large number of them are from the awwaleen, from the sahaba, ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain, and only a few are from the people who come later. So he said, I am making this dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should put me and make me among the few. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, see, this was the sidq and this was the truthfulness and sincerity of the sahaba ridwanullahi alayhim ajmain. And Sayyidina Umar is one of the glorious stars in that firmament. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, Wallahi, everyone knows more deen than Umar. He said to himself, he says, everyone knows more deen than Umar radiallahu anhu. Now, another time, a man came to Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu. A man was actually complaining about his situation in life. And Sayyidina Umar passed by him and Sayyidina Umar said, what are you complaining about? He said, Sayyidina Umar said, be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why are you complaining? The man said, what have I got to be thankful for? Look at me. He said, I'm poor, I'm destitute, I've got nothing, I'm not even well, and so on and so forth. I should thank Allah for what? I've got nothing to thank. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu said, can you urinate without pain? He said, yes. He said, thank Allah for this. Thank Allah for the fact that you can pass urine without pain. Ask anyone who has suffered from UTI, from urinary tract infection. It is so painful, it's like fire, that they stop drinking water, which creates other problems for them, because it can result in extreme cases in kidney failure and so on. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu, we forget to thank Allah for things which are mundane and everyday, and we only realize their importance when we lose them. The wise person is the one who thanks while he still has it, not when he loses it. In the seerah, there is this beautiful story which many of you may have heard. On a very, very hot day in Medina, Rasulullah ﷺ came out of his house. He was extremely hungry and it was extremely hot, oppressively hot, and he could not bear to stay inside the house, so he came out of the house. And as he was walking along, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu turned up. On a very, very hot day, Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu left his house. He left his house and he came out because he couldn't stay there anymore and he was very hungry. He came and he went towards Masjid An-Nabawi. This was the way of the Sahaba. Anytime there was any difficulty, they sought the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And today for us, the way to do that is anytime you have any difficulty, recite durood. It eases the way. It brings rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on you. That is our way of being close to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is to recite durood. So the Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu was going towards Masjid Nabawi. On the way, he met Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab. Sayyidina Umar said, Ya Abu Bakr, what are you doing? Why are you here? He said, well, I am extremely hungry. It's extremely oppressively hot. I can't stay in the house. So I thought I will go to meet Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyidina Umar said, Wallah, that is my situation also. So both of them landed in Masjid Nabawi. As they came there, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out of his house. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked them, why are you here? They said, Ya Rasulullah, this is our situation. We are extremely hungry. We haven't eaten for maybe a day or 2 days. And it is so hot. So we just came for your company. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam took them along and they went to the house of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu was not there. But his wife called them inside. They sat and then immediately Sayyidina Abu Ayyub al-Ansari came. And he was delighted, very happy to see Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam there and his sahaba. So he went into his date orchard and he cut down a big bunch of dates, which had ripe dates and half ripe dates and green dates. And he brought it. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ya Abu Ayyub, why did you cut the whole bunch? He said, Ya Rasulullah, if you want to eat ripe dates, they are there. If you want to eat half ripe, they are there. And if you want to eat green dates, they are also here. Now while they were doing that, he had a well in his date orchard which was sweet, very cold water. He brought the water. Then he went and he slaughtered a young goat. He slaughtered the goat, he gave it to his wife, she roasted the goat, the meat, and she made some bread and so on. And he brought this food, the hot bread and the roasted mutton, two, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam took two of these loaves of bread and he put some button between them and he said, go and give this to Fatima, she has not eaten for 3 days. Then Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and his Sahaba, they ate the meat and the bread and the dates and so on and so on. And when they had finished everything, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. He said, on the day of judgment, you will be asked about those things of delight that you indulged in this world. You will be questioned about those things that you enjoyed in this world. The Sahaba started weeping. Abu Bakr Siddiq and Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu and Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, they started weeping. They said, Ya Rasulullah, we have not eaten for 2 days and 3 days. After 2 days we get this food. Allah will question us about this. What luxury is that? Huh? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it was not your right that you should get this food. It is the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he gave you this food. They said, Ya Rasulullah, what can we do to escape this questioning? ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. What can we do to escape this questioning? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, make shukr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make shukr, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu for whatever he gives. And that's why when I began this series of lectures, I said, make your balance sheet. What are the ni'mat that Allah gave you? And on the other side, how are you using them? Where are you using them? In good or bad? Make this list and say, have I thanked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this ni'mah? And wherever the ni'mah came to you through somebody, have you thanked that person through whom this ni'mah came? Some of the ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah gives us directly. And some ni'mat of Allah come to us through other people. It is necessary to thank both, to thank Allah and also to thank those through whom we get these ni'mat. Zubair bin Nawam radiallahu anhu is a great sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When this ayat was revealed, ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ, with great hesitation and with great trepidation, he went to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, we are living in great difficulty. We are living in great difficulty. What ni'mat of Allah? What does Allah mean by saying that he will question us for his ni'mat? Which ni'mat? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam recited for him another ayat of Surah Al-Isra where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Inna sam'a wal basara wal fu'ada kullu ulaika kana anhu mas'oola. Verily the hearing and the sight and the heart, the understanding of each of those, you will be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about it. You will be questioned about your sight and we will be questioned about our hearing and we will be questioned about our intelligence and our understanding. And this questioning will be both about what we did with these faculties as well as whether we thanked Allah for them or not. As I keep saying again and again, to know the value of sight, you have to understand the meaning of blindness. To know the value of hearing, you have to understand the meaning of deafness. To know the meaning of understanding, you have to understand the meaning of dementia and the meaning of Alzheimer's and the meaning of insanity. May Allah protect all of you from all of these things and give you healthy lives till the day you die, inshallah. So let us try to at least imagine. I tell people, go to hospitals. What a world we have, huh? We are very proud of our medical knowledge of medicine, but every hospital is full of people. A knowledge of medicine does not seem to free us from disease. Go to the hospitals, look at people. Go make dua for them, it is good for them, good for you also. Look at people. And put yourself in that position and say, what if instead of this man I was here? And wallah, it is only and only the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I am not in the place of that man. Nothing else. We tend to feel very proud of ourselves, you know. That I am so healthy, look at me, I am so old, I am so healthy, this is pure and only the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jaladu. It has nothing to do with what you do or what you don't do. And that's the reason why we need to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we have sight and we have hearing and we have understanding. But we use them just like the animals use them. Just like animals. What do I mean by that? I mean a goat or a cow or a dog or a cat or something. If something is in front of it, it will look at it. That's how we use our sight. Whatever comes before us, we look at it. Whatever comes, we hear it. We listen to it. Any thought, whatever, we talk about it. So what's the difference between the way we use our faculties and other mammals also use their faculties? Same faculties, they've got the same faculties. Should there be a difference or not? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned about a man who worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 500 years. Among the people of the past, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said there was this man who Allah gave a long life, and this man worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 500 years. The man made dua and said, Ya Allah, make me free from sleep, make me free from the need for food and so on and so forth. Give me whatever sustenance I need. I want to worship you continuously without a break. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him this. So for 500 years, the man worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night without a break. And then the man died. And when the man went before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, go into Jannah with my forgiveness and mercy. The man said, no. Hold on. He said, I worshipped you for 500 years. I want to go into Jannah because of my worship. Because I worked for it. I earned it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, go into Jannah with my mercy and forgiveness. The man said, no, I earned it. It's my right. I must get it. I made effort for it. I worshipped you for 500 years. So I must go into Jannah because of my ibadah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, go into Jannah with my mercy. The man said, no, I want to go into Jannah because of my effort. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, then in which case, he ordered the angels, he said, put his eyesight on one pan of the scale and put his 500 years of ibadah on the other side of the scale. What is the value of this eyesight? And what is the value of 500 years of ibadah? The scale with the eyesight goes down, the scale with the ibadah goes up. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, your ibadah cannot even pay for one faculty which I gave you, and eyesight is only one. So now go into Jahannam with my adl, with justice. You wanted justice instead of mercy, here is justice. My brothers and sisters, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his mercy. We do not ask Allah for his justice. We ask Allah for his mercy. I always make this dua. I say, Ya Allah, every single thing that I have in this life is only because of your mercy. I did not earn anything which I have. Nothing, absolutely nothing. And I'm not trying to be modest or something. I would not even have said this, but I'm saying this to make every one of you a witness before Allah on the day of judgment that I said this. There is not one single thing that I deserve. There's not one single thing that I worked for. There's not one single thing that Allah gave me which is my right. So I always make this dua. I say, Ya Allah, you gave me all of this even though I did not deserve it. When I come before you on the day of judgment, I will not deserve your forgiveness, but give me. I will not deserve your mercy, but give me. Because this is your sunnah. This is your sunnah. You give to the one who does not deserve, because that shows your greatness. The one who deserves, you give it to him, that's not greatness. The one who does not deserve, you give it to him, that is greatness. So when I come before you, I will not deserve Jannah, but give me. And that's the dua I make for myself. I make the same dua for all of you, inshallah. My brothers and sisters, we live in the moment and we don't care about the consequences of our actions. Haram and halal are only words for us. We declare the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be unjust and unsuitable in today's world. A world and society that is steeped in ignorance, arrogance, and the spirit of self-destruction. Naturally, law and order would be considered unsuitable. Law and order is always unsuitable in the world of the pirate and the bandit. Today the bandits wear suits. Like animals, we eat whatever we like, we drink whatever we like, we do whatever we like, haram and halal are words without meaning for us. We live in the moment and we do not care about the consequences of our actions. And what is more, we get angry with those who try to warn us about those consequences. How different is our behavior from the behavior of animals? And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will question us about. I ask myself and you, how much longer do you think we have to live? How much longer do we want to live like this, like animals? Or do we want to be among those? We continue to live like this. Do we want to be among those about whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَوْ تَرَى إِذِ الْمُجْرِمُونَ نَاكِسُوا رُؤُوسِهِمْ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِمْ رَبَّنَا أَبْصَرْنَا وَسَمِعْنَا فَرْجِعْنَا نَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا إِنَّا مُوقِنُونَ. In Surah Sajda, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and you will see the mujrimun, you will see the criminals who insisted on sin. Israr al-ma'asi, insisting on sin, leads to kufr. Would you, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, you will see those who insisted on sin, the mujrimun, they will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with their heads hanging in shame, and they will say, our Rabb, Rabbana absarna wa sami'na, we have seen and we have heard, farji'na, send us back into the world. Na'mal salihan inna muqinun, we will do good deeds and we will be among the obedient people. But my brothers and sisters, you know and I know, just as when we came out of the wombs of our mothers, that door was closed. You cannot go back into the womb of your mother. Just like that, you cannot come back into this earth once we have gone through the door which is called mouth. Once we go into the Alamul Barzakh, we cannot come back into the Alamul Shahada. So how can we become grateful? By reflecting on the blessing, individual, each blessing, and on what life would have been without it. And that's pretty easy to do if you take out a few minutes to do it each day. Make this into a habit every single day. Maybe first thing you get up in the morning, or maybe last thing you, before you go to bed, just sit down peacefully 5 minutes and reflect on one blessing, only on one. Every day, one blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And think, what would it be to be blind or deaf or have some kind of disorder or some kind of handicap? Reflect on how it would be to be poor. Not very poor as living in hut. Just not rich enough, not wealthy enough to have air conditioning. Today we all have houses, every room is air conditioned. In winter our children can't sleep without air conditioning. And we say this very proudly. Why is your air conditioning running in this weather when there is 25 degrees temperature, 22 degrees temperature? It is the softness which was at the root of the destruction of this ummah. And you are training your children to be soft. So, just think about that. Shut off the air conditioning. Kiti dar nahi aati dekhenge. Kitne din nahi sote. See how many days you won't sleep. It's absolute nonsense. It's complete and total nonsense. In my house, we have not installed air conditioning. Not because I'm stingy. And not because I don't feel hot. But alhamdulillah, it's perfectly bearable heat. We go through the whole summer of Hyderabad with fans. We're absolutely fine. You don't feel the need for it. But we have trained ourselves to be soft instead of training ourselves to be tough. So think about this. Sit and reflect. What would it be like not to be able to travel whenever you like? What would it be like to have to forage in garbage bins for food? I actually strongly advise you. Go to a garbage bin where there are dogs and so on foraging for food. Climb in there and look for food. Don't eat it, but do it. Then go home and take a bath and so on. But actually physically do it. with the dog next to you. And if you think that I'm insulting you, please understand the man or the woman who's doing that, and you know they're doing that, they're just like you. Disraeli, the Prime Minister of Britain, of England, who was an atheist, one day he saw a beggar and he said, "There but for the grace of God goes Disraeli." The man is an atheist, but he's using this term as in the language, "There but for the grace of God goes Disraeli." So when you see somebody foraging in a garbage bin for food, that somebody is a human being, just like you. And "there but for the grace of Allah, there but for the grace of God" could be you and me. So experience it. Go climb into the bin. Look for the food. As I said, don't eat it. It won't kill you, believe me. You go come back home and bathe in Dettol if you like. That is how we will appreciate. All of us are suffering from being overweight. We are digging our graves with our teeth. We eat and eat and eat, and we got a problem because we eat too much. And there are people who, if they get one meal a day, that is Jannah for them. And you don't have to go search for them in the centuries past. Right here, right in our city, right next to your and my house, we can find people like this. Seriously, my brothers and sisters, we have to learn to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hasan al-Basri rahmatullah alayhi was going and overheard a conversation where one man was complaining to another man about his situation in life. So Hasan al-Basri rahmatullah alayhi stopped there and he said to the man, "What kind of a strange man you are? You are complaining about Ar-Rahman to somebody who has no Rahmah." Huh? He said, "You are complaining about Ar-Rahman to somebody who has no Rahmah." What will the man do? He can't change your situation in life. Why do you tell him? And that's why Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to make this dua, "Ya Rabbi lakal hamdu hatta tarda." O Allah, all praise for you until you are pleased. Hatta tarda. "Wa lakal hamdu idha radit." And all praise for you until you are pleased, until you have rida with this praise. وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ بَعْدُ الرِّضَى وَلَكَ الْحَمْدُ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ حَال. And for you praise after you have become pleased. Even more praise. And for you is praise and thanks عَلَىٰ كُلِّ حَال. In every condition. What is the benefit of thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and thanking the people? The first and most important benefit of that is it enhances your enjoyment of the ni'mah. It enhances the enjoyment of your ni'mah. You take time to savor it. You take time, you slow down, you think about it, you enjoy it, you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it. It enhances your own enjoyment of that ni'mah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to increase His blessing on the one who thanks Him for this ni'mah. The benefit of thanking people is that it encourages them to do more of what you thank them for. If you thank somebody, then they will do more of that. And that is the, again, enhancement of this ni'mah. And in many cases, in my life, I have come across people who were not good with many people. So whenever somebody mentioned so-and-so, they said, no, he's a nasty man and so on. But Allah is witness, the man was never nasty to me. Never. Similarly, I travel all over the world. And one of our Muslim characteristic seems to be ungrateful in every country that we live in. Almost invariably, you go to Saudi Arabia, you talk to the Indians and Pakistanis there, they will tell you a long story about how bad and evil the Saudis are. You go to Malaysia, they will tell you a long story about how lazy and good for nothing the Malaysians are. You go to America, they will tell you a long story about how, you know, crazy and mad the Americans are, and so on and so on. And my question is, then why are you here? Go back home, no? I mean, if the Saudis are so bad, why are you sitting in Saudi Arabia? And they tell you stories, and I'm not saying that whatever they're saying is all lies. It's not lies. Those things maybe happen to them, but I stand here and Allah is my witness. I travel all over the world. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. I do not have one single negative instance that anything happened to me in any country ever. The nicest people, I was in the US last year. I traveled all over the US. The nicest people in America to me were the TSA people. In every airport. Yeah? People have all kinds of horror stories about TSA. I'll tell you some very nice stories about TSA. Very nice people, very polite and so on and so on. And I did not shave off my beard or anything. Eh? Somehow, how you project yourself, that same reflection comes back to you. Same reflection comes back to you. I used to have a Saudi Iqama. And I used to be in and out of Saudi Arabia and plus traveling in Saudi Arabia. In 2003, the whole year I lived there. I was never searched. I was never stopped. In the airport, the security man would not see my Iqama. I put my hand in my pocket. He said, "Maafi mushkila Sheikh. Fadal, fadal, fadal." Ajib. You would be surprised how one smile, what it can do for you. The way you project yourself, the same thing comes back to you. So instead of maligning people in the countries that you stay in, look for their good things. There are plenty. If that wasn't there, the very fact that you are living there is proof that there is something good there, no? You're not insane. I mean, you would not be living there if there was nothing good. Look for the good and you find the good. Just like you look for the evil, you find evil. There's a very... The benefit of thanking people is that it encourages them to be nice to you. There's a very dear friend of mine in Cape Town, Solly Noor. And every time I go to Cape Town, Solly always takes me out to dinner or breakfast or lunch or something to one of the very, very fancy restaurants on the Cape Town waterfront. Beautiful, fantastic food and a bill that you don't want to receive at the end of the meal. And in my case, I never receive it because Solly pays it. But when I go there, what I absolutely enjoy even more than the food is to see Solly Noor at work. And when I say Solly Noor at work is how he behaves with people. Solly will greet every single person in that place. From the doorman to the waiter to the restaurant owner to everyone, and he'll greet them in the same very warm and nice way, and you know, he will shake their hand or hug them or whatever. Very, very nice way. Where we were sitting, once there was another couple which came and sat on another table, and the man was wearing a very nice leather jacket, and I also noticed the jacket. Solly gets up and goes there and says, "You know, that is a beautiful jacket. It's a lovely jacket." But he says, "You know, you are an even more beautiful man than the jacket." I mean, that guy, you could literally see like a light bulb went on inside him. He was like glowing. So when he walks into a restaurant, they all treat him like he owns the place. And alhamdulillah, Allah has given him plenty. He can own the place. But the point is, you don't have to own the place to get that kind of a treatment. It's only because you are grateful. And I can vouch for it. Solly Noor is not playing any games. He is not acting this part. He is grateful. Solly Noor is a very grateful human being. And he has seen some extremely difficult and tough situations in his life, which I'm not going to mention here, but very, very tough situations, big tragedies in his life. But you always see a smile on the man's face. He's always grateful. I've never heard a single word of ingratitude from Solly. I'm giving you an example of somebody who's, you know, living in our own times, because that's easy for us to relate to. And that's why we say people will not remember what you said or did, but they will remember how you made them feel. People will not remember what you said or did, but they will always remember how you made them feel. And that's why it's very, very important for us to show our appreciation. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and show appreciation to people. The most important one to be thanked is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. Because it is through Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we received this beautiful deen of ours. And the way to thank Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is to send salah, durud and salam on him. And the benefit of sending durud on Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends salam 10 times on you for every one time you send durud on Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the izzah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the one who sends salatu salam on me once, Allah will send salatu and salam on that person 10 times. So make this into a habit. Anytime you are not saying anything else, you are not talking, make it a habit to continuously recite durood. It is ibadah. You get the blessing and the salam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you are sending, being grateful to, showing your gratitude to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which we need to do. Finally, let me remind you and myself that those who deserve our thanks the most are those who serve us daily, on a daily basis, who most often we take them for granted. Our servants, our family, whoever is, you know, in our employ, let them not be there for one day and you know the difference. I always recall with great amusement an incident which happened with me. I was teaching a course in Chennai, and it so happened the entire class was only Tamilian Brahmins. So now the Tambram lifestyle is that every morning the woman of the lady of the house, she wakes up, she goes and has a bath, she does her puja, then she goes into the kitchen and she makes filter coffee. And you have to drink Tamilian filter coffee to know what the meaning of coffee is. It's absolutely phenomenal, beautiful, freshly ground beans, and they make filter coffee. By then the men of the house will wake up, and then she gives them this coffee and they drink this coffee and they read the Hindu newspaper. That is the style. So day is not complete, day has not begun unless this happens. This is a, like a ritual in every Tamilian Brahmin house. So this, we had this whole group, it was a 2-day course. So at the towards the end of the first day, I described this for them and I said, is this true? They said, yes sir, very true. So I said, let me ask you this question. What if you do not get that coffee one day? They said, oh my God, the day will be ruined. I said, fantastic. So I said, then let me ask you one more question. And the question is, how many of you thanked the person who makes that coffee? Your mother or your wife or your sister, whoever it is. How many of you thank that lady to say, thank you very much for this coffee because it means so much to me. It starts off my day on a good note. There was absolute dead silence, all honest people. Then one of them who was, close to my age, so he was middle-aged, he was sitting in front, he started laughing. So I said, why are you laughing? Did I say anything funny? He said, no, if I thank my wife, she will die of shock. So I said, let her die happy at least, no? So please thank her. This finished. Next morning, day two of the course, one of the young guys, he comes early and he comes to me and he says, sir, my mother sent her greetings to you and she said to thank you. So I said, who is your mother? What is your mother? I don't know who your mother is. Anyway, thank you for the greetings. But she wants you to thank me for what? He said, no sir, yesterday, very sheepishly, he said, you know, yesterday I went home and I thanked my mother. I said, thank you for the coffee. My mother said, yaar sonna sonnadhukku? Who is the one who told you to say this? So he said, I know you. He said, you are my son. You did not feel anything. Somebody told you to come and thank me. Who is that? So he said, I had to tell my mother. So I told my mother, this is our teacher. He told us we should thank him. He said, my mother said, tomorrow morning, first thing, you go and thank your teacher and say, thank you very much for waking you up and giving you this advice. People who we take for granted. Seriously, let us not do that. Let us be very clear and thank the people who do all of this for us. My brothers and sisters, the final stage of thanks is not only to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His blessings, but to understand that everything that comes from Him is a blessing, even if it doesn't seem to be like that. So we thank Him for it. I mentioned to you yesterday, last time, the difference between Shakir and Shakur. Thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, continuous state of thankfulness. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything. And seriously, there's a famous quote of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. He said, Araftu Rabbi bi fasqil azayim. He said, I have recognized my Rabb through the failures of my aspirations. I recognize my Rabb not through successes, through the failures of my aspirations. Because we see the pain, but we do not see the forgiveness that comes with it. He says, once you are sick, but the person is being forgiven because of that pain. A person who used to pray tahajjud, a person who used to fast, is unable to fast in Ramadan. And the person is feeling bad about it, and you see their faith, their pain, but you don't remember that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed the angels to continue to write the fasting in their book until they die. Because Allah says, I sent the illness. Continue to write tahajjud while they are sleeping, because they are sleeping because they are ill, not because they would not have woken up, because that was their habit. Continue to write the deed. And that's the reason why Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes the small deed, but that which is done consistently. So we don't see that. We see the difficulty, but we don't see the fact that the difficulty is that which drew us close to Allah. This is true for a lot of us. We think of Allah only when there is trouble. So let us be among those who think of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when we are doing well. We see failure, but we do not see the tests and problems that success would have brought us. I've said this before and I say it now again. If you live as long as I have lived, you will remember du'as that you made, for which today you thank Allah that He did not accept that du'a. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had accepted that du'a at the time you made this du'a, then you would have been in serious trouble today. So very, very clear, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what is best. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives what is best. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us something, we say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. But when Allah does not give us something, think about this, He gave us the reward of the du'a, because du'a is ibadah, whether it is accepted or not accepted. So we got the reward of the du'a. Allah did saved us from the effect of that du'a in this world, which would have been detrimental for us. And that du'a is now waiting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, O my slave, you asked me for such and such, I did not give it to you there, now ask me for what you want and I will give you. So how much more when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained this meaning of du'a, and when he mentioned these words to the sahaba, he said, if you realized the value of du'as which are not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When I say not accepted, I mean Allah didn't give you what you asked for. Every du'a is accepted. That Allah did not give you what you asked for. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you realize the value of that, you will wish that you asked du'a all your life and not a single du'a was accepted in this world. You will wish that every du'a is not accepted. Every du'a remains unanswered. Because on the day of judgment, then you will have all of this du'a. And Allah will say, now ask me what you want and I will give you. My brothers and sisters, this is the reason why Luqman alayhi salam gave his son this wonderful advice to be thankful in his life. Because thankfulness, appreciation of others, and an attitude of gratitude costs nothing, but brings with it rewards and blessings that we cannot even imagine. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who are always thankful. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from all tests, and from all difficulties, and from all tribulations, and all masaib. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu to fill our hearts with thanks for Him, and to thank on our behalf. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for this beautiful deen of his. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to fill our hearts with the love of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajmain. Bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimeen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.